Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Friday on the Savage Nation. The show that everyone in America listens to and denies they listen to. The show that everyone in the media listens to and pretends doesn't exist. The Savage Nation. Question. Question. You know the answer just by the question. What's the point of the question? Why is McCain rising while Obama is falling? Answer, because the pimps in the media have been found out for what they are. Low-life procurers that belong outside the Holland Tunnel, working with the women who wear fishnet stockings on ABC, CBS, and NBC. I love the show, The View. The three of them ought to be outside the Holland Tunnel in fishnet stockings at 4 in the morning. But, you know, it's an embarrassment for me to see John McCain. To me, he's still a shoe salesman. I know many of you worship him now because he's our best hope against the unknown Obama. But to me, he will always be a shoe salesman. A heroic shoe salesman at that, and I have nothing against shoe salesmen. In fact, I've met some very nice shoe salesmen in my life, but to me, John McCain, whatever his name is, has always been a compromised man. He is a compromised man. He's a sellout in plain English. He sold us down the river on borders, language, and culture, and he will sell us down the river on borders, language, and culture after he defeats Obama. That I know. However, on the level of national security, I will vote for him. I expect nothing from Tom McCain, not even a new pair of shoes. Many of you, of course, 6 months ago, didn't like John McCain, but because he's the only alternative to the unknown, dangerous Obama, you're all suddenly turning him into Superman. I'm not going to do that. I'm simply not going to do that. But the question is, why is Tom McCain rising while Obama is falling? The answer is because of rotten, low-life fish of the type that you find on The View. The people have had enough of these empty suits. MSNBC, the new lesbian and gay station. How do you like that? Lesbian and gay 24/7 on MSNBC. That's the new cable channel. It's being celebrated in San Francisco and Austin, Texas, and the West Village. And nowhere else do they tune that show in. But I guarantee you they have large audiences on Castro Street every time they turn on one of their favorite friends from ACT UP. Question two. How do you react when a foreign politician or celebrity endorses Obama? You know how I react? I can't say it on the radio. I'm supposed to care what the world thinks about America? Can you tell me when America was loved by the world? Now suddenly we're being told we're not liked by the world? The English didn't even like us after we saved them from the Germans. The French didn't like us after we saved them from the Germans. So what do I care what the French and English think of the United States of America? It's time we said what we think of them. Why are we so defensive in this country? I don't know. No answer to that. No answer to that. Who will save Lehman Brothers? Who is Lehman Brothers? It's a clothing store on 14th Street in Manhattan. No, it isn't. It's a major investment bank that's been broken and busted by the mafia of Wall Street. Now, many of you are fans of The Sopranos. Many of you watched what happens when a gang gets a guy. Let's say a guy owns a sporting goods store that does $20 million a year. And the guy who owns the sporting goods store becomes a gambler, and he gambles in one of these guys' operations, and he loses a lot of money. They start hitting him with the vigorish, the interest. Before long, they take a piece of his business. They're sitting in the back room, and they're running his sporting goods store. While they're running it, they're running up extraordinary credits. They're buying airline tickets and vacations on the credit of the sporting goods store, and they're taking goods out of the back of the store, which they're not even reporting. That's exactly what's going on Wall Street. First with Bear Stearns, now with Lehman Brothers. But because the guys who were doing it don't have names that end in vowels, because the guys who were doing it went to Yale and Harvard and Princeton, and because the guys on Wall Street who are doing it belong to the Harvard Club, you think it isn't happening, but you're wrong. It is happening. Play We're in the Money, that's
we're
all.
In they, money.
Turn it
we're
off. I don't like it. It's boring. I don't like Mickey Mouse dental gas. I can see you're not interested in anything, so good night and good luck. I can tell right away when a show is going to be. You're not interested in land. You're distracted. I can tell when my audience is already vague, floating like in a helium balloon. No one cares about anything. I've been in radio 15 years. I've never seen America as – I don't have the one single word for what you've become. And I don't have contempt for my audience. Don't get me wrong. That's a death sentence for a show. I don't have contempt for my audience. I have sadness for my audience. I believe that 15 years of Clinton and Bush have destroyed the American psyche. I believe that 15 years of the drugging of America and America's children has destroyed the soul. Last night I was flipping around the channels. I saw a horrible movie for 10 minutes with Nicole Kidman about that. Some invasion, I don't know, like a virus invades, and it turns everybody into like androids who have no emotions. Of course, it's a metaphor for our times. But how much further do you have to go than the times we're living in today where people have no emotions whatsoever except fake emotions, which is why you worship sluts, for example, on Sunset Boulevard or wherever they're cavorting. You know, they want to run out with their little party minis, and you think that that passes for womanhood. Would any sane nation on earth worship girls of this low level? Would any sane nation do this and expect to survive when you have young girls who are watching and they see these sluts cavorting every night on television because one madman from Australia came to America and took over the media and started to mix up the American mind with short skirts, lipstick, and the news. Of course the people are confused. If you throw short skirts, lipstick, and the news all in 1 minute, what you wind up with is people who don't know which way is up and which way is down. So where does that leave us? I don't think you care about anything. I think many of you have reduced yourself to the simplest terms, and you don't even understand what's going on around you, nor do you care. What you really want is more entertainment. You can never get enough entertainment. You've been oversaturated with entertainment. All you want is more entertainment. You want more of the same. So what you expect me to do is get up here every day and entertain you. You don't really listen to what I say. You don't want my insights. You don't want my genius observations, such as Obama has an Oedipal complex. That was the most brilliant thing written in the entire campaign since Obama was invented by the Democrat Party. He was invented by the Democrat Party. No one has penetrated his soul and psyche more carefully than I have. And nobody in the media noticed what I said. Nobody commented upon it. And already now you want another insight on Friday. You want another genius insight that takes years to develop. I can't do it. Do you understand I cannot do this? I can't do it. I can't come up with brilliance every day. You want brilliance, you're not going to get it in talk radio. You want brilliance, you're not going to get it on television. Where are you going to get brilliance? You have to go back to your books. Then you'll find some brilliance. Are there any brilliant writers writing today? Sure, I can't name one, but there are some. And there are brilliant insights here and there in books and whatever. But if you really want insights and genius, you have to go back to the classics. Don't expect it from the modern media. Nothing in the modern media is of any value whatsoever. It's all very temporal. There are no insights whatsoever. All it does is give you another fix for another second. We know that you're sitting there nervously about to hit the channel, change the button, hit the kill switch, move on to the next of 150 choices you have every second. I don't like what he's saying, click. I don't like her lipstick, click. I don't like his hairdo, click. I don't like his accent, click. I'll change this station anymore. See, it gives you power. It gives you the only power you have in your miserable little worm-like life, which is to click a television clicker. And that way you think that you have control over your existence. When you sit there with the clicker, you think you're powerful. But you're not. You have less power than a worm crawling in the earth. All you are is another consumer. And what are you actually consuming? You're consuming images. And what are these images? Well, you don't know. You see an old man up there with a younger woman with lipstick, and you like him better than the other guy because you never saw him before, with the other old man from Delaware who's fallen like a lead balloon, who's about to be replaced by some woman. If they can dig up Hillary Clinton, fine. If not, any woman will do, because the other side made a big mistake by selecting an old war horse who has quite a corrupt record in his past called Joe Biden. You don't really pay much attention to the difference in their policies, Because if you did, Obama never would have left Chicago. If you did, Chicago would still have him as a as an alderman, let alone a senator. But the people don't know what they're electing in this country. Take a look at George Bush. Take a look at Al Gore. Al Gore has gotten away with one of the greatest scams in American history, if not world history. Promulgating one of the greatest lies that anyone with a seventh grade science education can defeat in 1 second. Global warming? Then kindly explain the seven ice ages that disappeared prior to the arrival on the scene of the internal combustion engine, Mr. Dumb Gore. Answer, I don't answer questions. Debate me, Mr. Gore. I don't debate anybody. But the worshippers who worship Al Gore's fraudulent theories worship Obama. Why? Because they're stupid. That's a good beginning. I feel a lot better. Now I'm going to have a sip of my green tea. I'm going to ask you to call 1-800-449-8255. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about the half man, half woman from Long Beach from my new autobiography, Psychological Nudity. This is the Savage Nation. Be here. Savage. I got to tell a half-man, half-woman story in Long Beach. I'm not talking about the supervisors of San Francisco. I'm talking about a long time ago in New York City. Dad had a small antique store. I told you he sold clocks and figures and statues, mainly 19th century French, and some of it was very good. So amongst the many customers, one of them was a circus performer in the freak show of Ringling Brothers, who would get up there, half man, half woman. I don't know. He had a breast on one side, and the other side he didn't. I don't know how they did with a half a beard. But, you know, after work, he was a regular person, and he lived in a house in Long Beach, like one of those little Godfather houses. So Dad would deliver the work after work. He delivered his own, you know, sales. He didn't have a delivery boy. And I would, you know, I was the kid. I'd go along on the ride, whether it would be the DeSoto or the Cadillac Model 62 with the statues in the back. And we pull up late at night because this guy didn't like to come out during the day. I'll never forget this as long as I live. So the circus guy, the half man, half woman, ring, ring, who's there? Blah, blah, blah. So the guy opens the door, but he can't open the door all the way. He can only open it a crack. Why can he only? And he has to, like, pull the door and push stuff to get. And the house is now littered with art objects in no particular order. Hundreds of statues and paintings on the floor, nothing hung right. He would buy one beautiful thing after another and just randomly put it on the floor like a warehouse. And what was that? Nobody knew. I knew. I was a kid who thought on those long rides out to Long Island and the long rides back, those long winter nights over the Williamsburg Bridge in the car with the sound of the grated metal underneath the tire as your car went over it, looking down from the childhood at the ships that came back from the Korean War with the painting and the LST in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. All the way through to this, I figured out what it was. This guy was a freak. He was ugly in his own mind. So he compensated for his ugliness by buying beauty, and he needed to surround himself with beautiful things as much as possible in a compulsive way. I did not go into psychiatry because I did not want to subject myself to people's problems. But trust me, I know exactly what people are all about, including the half man, half woman in Long Beach. Who can forget one-arm Frank's horrible breath while making love by the sewer plant, or me getting dead man's pants, or me eating a diet that would kill, I don't know, anybody? Or how about Tippy the dog being thrown in a garbage truck after he died? Or me reading when pasta was spaghetti? Or the electric blue saddle stitch pants that were ripped off my legs? Or my silent brother? They are all in Psychological Nudity, my new autobiography. Go to michaelsavage.com and order it now to make sure you reserve a copy. Psychological Nudity. Savage. Not available in bookstores, only available to my listeners on the Savage Nation. And here we are. We're back to reality. I had a good time listening to the story. I can embroider even further on it now that I think about it. It's always more to a story. In fact, if you take the germ of any story, like half man, half woman, and you start filling in the details, you understand that you turn it into a novel. very few original stories in the world. You know that. You know how the people used to say everything's been told. I don't actually believe that. I used to shake my head when people, I used to know writers years ago. At least they thought they were writers. Most of them turned out to be kept men. They married another man and they were kept by the other man and they moved to the Philippines. But aside from the fact that they couldn't make a living as a writer, which of course isn't their fault, they were talentless to begin with and too lazy to pursue a regular life, a regular job. They said, every story's been told. I don't believe every story's been told. I never read Half Man, Half Woman anywhere. I never read about that. It's a great story. It has a lot in it. I'm not, you know, saying it's like the greatest story ever told. It's not War and Peace, but in its own way, it's original. So that's what I'm getting at. There are original stories every day. I see them wherever I go. Anyway, if you think I'm going to talk about the election every day until the election, you're crazy. How can we talk about this? How can I talk about it anymore? There's nothing more to say. We have an old Republican war horse named John McCain, who's a compromised man, a middle of the roader, a liberal who shafted the conservative base every year he was in politics. But on the issue of national security, we trust him more. Then we have this phantom called Obama, invented by the you-know-whats in the media, a total creation who hung around with terrorists, who was funded by gangsters, and basically fronted for by other Marxists in the media. So there's no choice in the election. That's all. And if it's a choice between Bush 3 or Karl Marx 2, I'll take the former. That's all. It's the end of the story. Now may I go on with my life? Can we get it over with already? Years this has been going on. The election's been going on for years. How anyone could get up on the air every day and get excited by either of these candidates, I'll never understand. But it shows you the level of the media. They get excited over nothing. They don't say anything. Did any of you see that stupid thing at Columbia last night? I watched it. I couldn't believe it was on. And who did they dig up? Judy Woodruff. Judy Woodruff should be selling. I can't even say it. It's not a live performance. If I was in a live performance, I'd tell you what Judy Woodruff should be selling. It's not a pretty picture either. The first word is feminine, and I won't finish the rest of the sentence. They dig her up to ask non-questions to non-entities. And half the media walked out after 20 minutes. Savvy. That passes for a debate.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love.
I think I'm going to turn the lights down here in the radio studio this Friday and go into a seance altogether. Who cares about politics? How much more do I need to hear about these candidates? Can we ask for the election to be held early? Is there any way we can vote a month early to get it over with already? Move it up to like October 7th? I don't believe this. It's the endless election. So, I know I'm not talking about Cialis. Okay, get it off your mind, will you please? I said the endless election. Please. You know, speaking of bodily functions, my mind is on Monday. Monday I got to go in for the colonoscopy. You say big deal, everyone gets one. But I looked up the meds that they're going to put me on, Versed and fentanyl. And I'm not so sure I really want to be on fentanyl, which is like 80 times more active than morphine or Versed, you know, whatever, Versed, whatever, all these drugs. You know what I'm thinking? I think that since the media insists on inspecting every aspect of a candidate's life, that is if they don't like the candidate, such as what they're doing to Sarah Palin, they wouldn't do it to Obama. I mean, if they investigated Obama to the extent they're investigating Sarah Palin, I guarantee you his ratings would fall another 20 points. But since they're into scrutinizing every detail of a candidate, and since there's nothing left to scrutinize anymore, I started to think maybe we should demand that any candidate for the presidency go before a video conference with a nationally broadcast colonoscopy, where the entire nation gets to peer inside their colon, and then they can vote on who has a cleaner colon. In other words, well, here we are. This is Wolf Blitzer on CNN. We're inside Obama's colon. We are about to proceed past the 10th centimeter. And as you can see, his colon is absolutely much cleaner than McCain's. In fact, we were in McCain's colon just the other day, and it was quite flaccid, to be honest with you, right? Wouldn't you say that, Judy? Yes, Wolf. McCain's colon is definitely flaccid. Well, you would expect that from a man of his years, though, Judy, wouldn't you? Yes, and Obama's colon is certainly cleaner, so I would have to say the American people should judge for themselves. This is Wolf Moron signing off from CNN. Is that what's coming next? We're going to see colonoscopies of candidates broadcast on national television so that you can decide for yourself who has a cleaner colon? I mean, is that where we're going? When have you last heard them talk about immigration policy? Answer, never. I don't really care about the candidate's colon or such. I'd rather hear about what they're going to do to close the border to protect America from the illegal alien invasion of our schools, hospitals, prisons, courts, you name it. But I haven't heard that. Now, why is it that we hear virtually everything and yet we hear nothing? Why haven't we heard either candidate discuss immigration? Why haven't we heard either candidate talk about the meltdown of Lehman Brothers on Wall Street? Why is it that just yesterday the director of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, I thought I was in a nut house, got up and talked about the storm about to hit Texas, saying it's a big storm. I didn't know that the Department of Homeland Security was created to talk about hurricanes. I thought the Department of Homeland Security was created after 9/11 to protect us from the homegrown terrorists who are living amongst us. I would have thought by now there wouldn't be 15 operational cells hidden in Muslim communities throughout America. I thought that one person in power on 9/11 would have said Islamo-fascism, would have talked about the clash of civilizations, would have explained to the American people how tenuous our civilization has always been and that it could easily be knocked over by fanatics and what we must do to protect ourselves. But I didn't hear any of that. I heard 9/11 compared to a natural disaster. I heard them talking about the trade centers fell down, not knocked down, not blown up, not airplanes, nothing. When the World Trade Centers fell down, said that sad sack mayor of New York, Bloomberg. Well, you know what, Mayor Bloomberg? You may be a billionaire, but you're still a schmuck, as far as I'm concerned. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment of a human being to have taken this opportunity and squandered it, Bloomberg. At least that's one man's opinion. Maybe your sycophants tell you otherwise, but west of the Hudson River, you're nothing. And that's why you didn't run for the presidency, because you used your money to find out that west of the Hudson River, you're still nothing but a shoe salesman to most of America. You could have taken that opportunity to tell America the danger they're in. Any one of the politicians could have taken the opportunity to tell America the danger they're in and could have warned us that although we spent trillions of dollars or whatever we spend, hundreds of billions, they tell me that there are 15, an expert reported the other day, there were 15 operational Islamo-fascist cells in the United States of America who are ready, willing, and able to strike at any moment. What do you mean there are 15 operational cells? Where are they? Oh, I see. They're not hidden in Hasidic Jewish communities. They're not hidden in monasteries. They're not hidden in nunneries. Where are they? Oh, they're all Muslims? Yeah. And so they're hiding in Muslim communities? Yeah. So, hello? Well, I guess during World War II, we knew that the Nazis who came into America would naturally gravitate to German communities, such as Yorktown on the upper east side of New York. Uh-huh, and the FBI did what? Why, the FBI infiltrated restaurants and bakeries and tailor shops and radio stores in Yorktown. And so when a stranger appeared to work in any of these stores, the FBI agent found out pretty quickly whether or not he was a Gestapo agent sent over here in order to infiltrate this country. That's because we had an FBI who was smart enough to understand where Hitler would send German Nazis in America. Why, they'd go to German communities. They didn't sit there and say, well, oh, wait a minute. We can't do ethnic profiling on German Americans. That might make them feel picked upon. So instead of looking for Gestapo agents in German communities, I think we'll look for Gestapo agents in synagogues. Yeah, that's a good idea. And the next time they go to a bus terminal, what we'll do is we'll roust Hasidic Jews instead of anyone who looks like a Nazi in order to make sure that we're not picking on them, we're not racist. We would have lost World War II. If we had the same insane mindset that's running in our intelligence communities today, in 1940, you'd be speaking German and you'd be a lampshade, which is why I tell you we are in great danger. We are in great danger. I can't be the only man in America who sees this. You know, I got a letter last night from a listener who's an elderly gentleman. I will not mention his name. I don't have the letter handy. Actually, I do have it. It's not too far away. I should read it to you. Play a soundbite. I'm going to go get it. Play some kind of music for them. Give them a rock and roll song. I'm going to go find that letter. It'll take me less than 15 seconds the minute I hear the music.
Help.
Boom, 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 boom.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop, lollipop.
All right, I'm back. I got it. I had to go across the radio studio. I work alone. I don't like anybody around me. Michael Savage, dear sir, says the letter, and it's written in a shaky handwriting, but very clear. It is from Saratoga, California, and EC, I will not read your name. Dear Michael, I spent almost 6 years as a Navy carrier pilot and communications officer, also worked behind the door at Lockheed Missile and Space Company in Sunnyvale, California, for 27 years, currently retired. My wife of 50 years is a Japanese-American, was born in Japan in 1927. She was investigated by the Japanese government, the CIA, and the FBI because of my position in the Navy. If at the time my background and associations were anywhere near Senator Obama's, I couldn't get a job in the Navy or Lockheed Company. If Obama becomes president, he will have access to all of America's secrets. The communists told us in the late 60s they would infiltrate and destroy from within. They are doing a good job. If the FBI and CIA had done their job, we wouldn't be in this mess. Something smells. And then he goes on further, and I'm not going to read any more to you, but he repeats what I said earlier in the week, which is this. A man who wants to become a Secret Service agent has to go through a tremendous amount of investigation. Barack Hussein Obama could not pass the Secret Service examination to become his own bodyguard. You can quote me on that. Because of Barack Hussein's associations with past known terrorists, even William Ayers, one is enough. One would disqualify him. Do you know that? And I'm shocked that you, the American people, have been so hoodwinked by the empty suits and the empty skirts in the media, all of whom belong in fishnet stockings outside the Holland Tunnel at 3 a.m. instead of on television. If I had the power, if I had the absolute power, and thank God I don't, the first thing I would do is I'd take everyone in the liberal media, I'd remove them from the television the first day I became president, and man or woman, I'd make them wear fishnet stockings and garter belts and stand outside the Holland Tunnel and peddle their bodies for what they've done to this country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting.
It is the Savage Nation. Let me repeat it over and over again today till you finally get it. Obama would not pass a background check to become an FBI agent because of his known associations with William Ayers. That alone, because of his pastor's hate speech, he would be disqualified from becoming a lowly beginning FBI agent in a back room, let alone becoming a Secret Service agent protecting the president. Forget about it. Never. Now, how in the world could he have gotten this far? Because the media, the compliant media, and the idiots running McCain's campaign, I mean, you want me to tell you what McCain could do to devastate him? The next time McCain gets up, or run an ad that says, Barack Obama, associated with known terrorists in the 1960s, such as William Ayers, has said we didn't kill enough. Do you know that this would disqualify Mr. Obama from becoming an FBI agent? And yet you think he ought to be president? Think very carefully. He could not even become an FBI agent. I'm John McCain, and I approve of this ad. That's it. That's the end of the campaign. Over. Run that until November. Run that until November. That's all. Lou in Washington, D.C., welcome to the program.
How are you, Dr. Savage? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I can confirm that on the background investigation, that part of your background investigation for employment to get clearances, let alone FBI agent, Secret Service, ATF, any of the background investigations for federal employment such as that in a law enforcement capacity where you have secret, top secret, and compartmentalized security clearances, just based on the William Ayers Association, there would be no way you could get that clearance, which means you would be no way hired.
Exactly. So I'm correct when I say that Obama could not qualify as an FBI agent. That's 100% true, correct?
That's correct, sir. If I was applying for the job and I had an associate, a known terrorist, who bombed throughout the U.S. during the 60s and the 70s with the underground, the Weather Underground, there'd be no way that I would be hired.
All right, let's go to a more benign situation. How about his pastor's hate?
If you're associated with that person and it comes out in your background that you associate and you are friends or associated with persons disloyal to the country, then that can be grounds for disapproval. Because it's
all right, but the most serious connection is the William Ayers connection. That would immediately disqualify him from becoming an FBI agent, let alone a Secret Service agent. Why has the media not even brought this up? Why has the McCain campaign brought this up? I don't think that they should hide this.
I'm not sure, sir.
I understand. Thank you. There it is. One man's opinion, Michael Savage. I brought it up. It won't be quoted anywhere in the media. Because whatever, it won't be quoted. It's just so obviously great. Chicago, Mindy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It is such an honor to speak with you. I just wanted to call and thank you with such sincerity. I don't even know how to convey to you how much I want to thank you, because I'm probably not like a typical listener. I'm a 28-year-old single woman. Single mother, not by choice. And listening to your show, you know, being from the south side of Chicago, everything is a handout. You know, get welfare, get temporary assistance, get free daycare. And I have pride, and I work hard, and I refuse to accept that. And it's so nice to actually hear somebody say, you know,
you're like so many of the people that my parents' generation, they were all poor. Most of them were immigrants, and they wouldn't accept any governmental aid at all. Whatever little there was, they wouldn't take. They would rather have starved to death than take it. And as a result, they had tremendous self-pride, self-dignity, and they raised their children with a work ethic, and your children will wind up much better off for it, Mindy. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So let me repeat what I said to you, because this is Major League News. It should be across the blogosphere. Savage says Obama could not pass FBI test. Let me repeat it again. Savage says Obama could not pass FBI test. Entrance exam. Savage says Obama could not become Secret Service agent. Savage says Obama could not become FBI agent. You play it any way you want. That's news. Let him deny it. Let his campaign spokesmouths now come out and say that I'm wrong. Let them call it hate speech or anything under the sun. Let America finally have an honest debate in the sunlight about who this man is, where his loyalties lie, without any interference from the empty suits in the media. And they'll decide pretty good that you cannot trust this unknown. You certainly can't turn state secrets over to him. What are you people, insane? Are you people insane? Dolly in North Carolina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hello, Michael. My name is Dolly. I'm a young nurse, first-time caller. And I'm very concerned about, you know, the average peers my age. I'm 26, and we don't really have a lot of role models to look up to other than you these days. So you spoke a few minutes ago about the classics, and I have a pen in hand. I would love to know what your top five books that you would recommend were.
Oh, my God. I couldn't do that right now. I'd have to think about it. If I reduce it to five, I don't know. I'm an eclectic reader, Dolly. You have to go where you're – here's what I say. Go where your interests are. Instead of coming up with an arbitrary list of books, find out what you're interested in. In politics, there would be five. In religion, there'd be five. In science, there'd be five. In art, you know what I'm saying?
No.
So my answer to you is don't make a list. Don't feel you have to read certain books. Yeah, I mean, you could go to the old University of Chicago 100 Great Books. That used to be the core of a four-year college degree. I had that at Queens College, the City University of New York. It was based on the University of Chicago 100 Great Books. That list exists. In fact, if you do a search on it, you probably could find them. But many of them are ponderous and difficult to read. I would say just read widely, read serious books, and that'll give you the education you need. That's all. Who else would not pass an FBI exam? Bill Clinton wouldn't have passed it. Are you aware that we had a president named Bill Clinton who would not have passed the FBI exam? let alone Secret Service. George Bush would pass. There's no question. You may not like Bush. I'm a critic of George Bush's policies. He would have passed. Never a doubt about his loyalties. Although God only knows, I'm not so sure today after the Dubai ports deal and selling everything from roadways to tollways to bridges and tunnels. I'm not so sure anymore who to trust. But all right, on the face of it. Play some rock and roll for me right now. I'm burned out already. The first hour is almost over. I already feel like I did 5 hours. I feel like my tires are stuck in slush on the Savage Nation. Turn on a music. That's play an oldie but a goodie. Catches up. I died in radio in 94. All right, 94, I'll take it. I'll split the difference. Putnam died in 94. He's on the air for 60 years. Imagine if I torture liberals for another 50 years. God, 40 years, whatever. 30 years, 10 years. Turn it off. Do you realize a guy named Putnam died, God rest his soul, he's 94 years old. He was doing radio in the 30s and the 40s. I think before there was a microphone, George Putnam was doing radio. He died at 94 yesterday. Been on the radio forever. Forever. And in his remaining years, he lived on a ranch in Southern California with his, I guess they call it a partner now. Everyone's like, howdy doody, you know, like a rodeo. What do you mean a partner? That came from the gay community. Everyone has a partner. You can't say your wife, your girlfriend. What do you mean partner? Hey, howdy, I'm your partner. Yeah, we're two Marlboro men in a haystack. See, this is the gayization of America. Everything's like a gay phrase. Everything's cute and slimy. What do you mean your partner? It's not his part. Anyway, so he lived on a ranch raising thoroughbred horses and taking in animals. And he did a show, an internet show, for all these years. So I figured, look, what if with modern medicine and genetics and my general level of anger, I could live a... Imagine what I would do to the liberal community if I'm around another 30 years on the radio. My God. What pleasure it would be to see most of them crossing the River Styx. What pleasure that would be.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I am more interested in garden statuary and ornamental furniture than I am in John McCain or Barack Hussein Obama. But, okay, I recognize it's an election cycle, and I suppose that I have to pretend I'm interested. I'm not that interested anymore. I made all the points I could possibly make. As I say, garden statuary seems more interesting to me than McCain and Obama. I mean, wouldn't you be interested if you know that a pair of Italian carved figures of dancing fauns, Raffaello, by Raffaello Romanelli, who lived in Italy between 1856 and 1928, sold recently at auction for about $100,000. Probably, I mean, it's amazingly, it's an interesting story. Or a pair of Napoleon III marble garden thrones, last quarter 19th century, sold for $25,000. Garden statuary interests me more than this election. I made my point. Let me just do it again, if you just tuned in. I'll make it simple. Okay, on the issue of national security or security alone, it's John McCain. That's all I'm interested in. The rest is the same. It's a one-party system with two different choices and two Hydra heads of the same single party run by Wall Street. All right? So when it comes down to national security, McCain is 100, Obama's a zero. Why do I say it? Because McCain could not pass an FBI test. He couldn't become an FBI agent. I'm sorry. Obama could not become an FBI agent. Why do I say it? Because it's a very rigorous examination. They investigate you, your background, who you knew, who you went to school with, who your associations were, are. And Obama hung around with William Ayers. Just one, name one person who could sabotage anyone who wanted to be an FBI Secret Service agent. It would be a guy like that. That's it. It's over. It is over. Just enough. Now, how could you then say, well, I don't care. I want him to be president. I want him to have access to all the top secret stuff. Why? Because I don't like white men. Schmuck. You dummy. I see here in San Francisco that our erstwhile Annie Tusum Newsom mayor has gotten rid of his Lincoln Town Car in order to appease the psychopaths in the city. And he bought a Chevrolet Tahoe hybrid. Oh, how PC can you get, Gavin? Are you going to be flying in the Google Hybrid 767, or is it the regular Google 767? I know that you like to fly in the Google Jet a lot, along with your other friends here in San Francisco. And so far as I know, they haven't yet invented a hybrid 767, Gavin, have they? Hip-hip-hip-hoc-ra-cy. Who would go into politics, by the way? Ask yourself that question. That's the problem. Who goes into this field? If you have brains, you become a comedian or a dentist, something. But a politician, it's unheard of. Basically, they're all lawyers, and that's the real problem. That's one plus for McCain is he's not a lawyer. That's another plus for him, that he's not a lawyer. That's a real plus, you know. And that he doesn't use the internet is actually another plus. It means he probably hasn't gotten addicted to internet pornography. That's a definite third plus. So there's a lot to be said for an old fogey like him. He's up in the polls anyway, and that everyone knows it. In fact, Harry Reid of Nevada called him either he slipped or he did it on like purpose. He called him President McCain in discussing him. Harry Reid said President McCain, and a lot of Democrats are panicking right now. Did you see that story that came out? It's on michaelsavage.com. I forgot where we linked it up from. I'll find it in a minute. But apparently top Dems are freaking out. Where is this story? Here, Democrats on Capitol Hill fear Obama fallout. That's the Financial Times linked up on my site. It's a great story. And last I checked, the Financial Times was not a right-wing publication. It said Democratic jitters about the U.S. presidential race have spread to Capitol Hill, where some members of Congress are worried that Barack Obama's faltering campaign could hurt their chances of re-election. McCain's jump in the polls has stoked fears of a Republican resurgence. Then you read on in the article. To continue reading, please register. Oh, I can't register in the middle of a show. I read this without registering. Anyway, it's a good article. You should read it without registering. You have to. And a lot of first-time Democrats are distancing themselves from Obama because they think he's a loser already. You didn't know that. You didn't hear that, huh? Dems on Capitol Hill fear Obama fallout. There's the article, the whole one. A Democrat fundraiser for congressional candidates said some plan to distance themselves from Obama and not attack McCain. Oh! There's a growing sense of doom among demon cats. I have spoken to. People are going crazy telling the campaign you've got to do something. Wow. Tony Podesta, senior Dem lobbyist, said members of Congress were a little nervous after McCain shook up the race with his choice of Sarah Palin as a running mate and intensified attacks on Obama. The campaign manager for first-term Democratic congressman from a blue-collar district in Northeast rejected suggestions that Obama had become a liability. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, he's way, way ahead. Whites lift McCain to slim lead over Obama in poll. An overwhelming advantage in experience and lopsided support from working class and suburban white. What do you mean lopsided? Where did they come up with a word like that? Lopsided support? What do you mean lopsided? When it's in favor of a Democrat, it's not lopsided? Lopsided support from working class and suburban whites have lifted Republican John McCain to a slender lead over Barack Obama. Now, this is the Associated Press GFK poll. We looked into who GFK is. It's a German firm. You know, when you see AP Ipsos poll, foreign firm. When you see Associated Press GFK poll, German firm. It's gotten so bad that we're going to Germany for our polls now. So even the German poll from the Associated Press is showing that McCain is surging ahead. He has a real surge since they picked Palin. It's pretty amazing. I didn't think the Republicans had it in them to dig someone up like her that would shift the entire, scale in their favor. Amazingly brilliant, whoever figured that one out. Wish I could find out who figured that out. Couldn't be Karl Rove. I mean, couldn't be Dick Cheney. Whatever. Garden statuary is more interesting to me. Could you take this message home, what I said today on a Friday? I'm tired. I'm bored of the election already. I wish it was over. I got the colon thing on Monday. I'm sick of that in advance. I can't wait till it's over with already so I can go home and go to sleep. And what else? Oh, here's what I said today that's so brilliant, because it is. Savage says Obama couldn't pass FBI test. Bingo. End of the election. Savage says Obama couldn't be Secret Service agent. Boom, end of the election. So, Mr. Blitzer, how come you haven't asked that question, Wolfie? You little schlemiel, you. You're ashamed to your ancestors and your family, you schlemiel, you. You little two-faced schlemiel. Florida, Bernadette, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about how John McCain doesn't know how to use email. I'd like to know, when did Obama learn to fly a Navy jet?
There you go.
My son-in-law is a U.S. Air Force pilot. I know the training they have to go through.
Absolutely. Obama couldn't though it was a long time ago, he's got the right stuff, as evidenced by the fact that he's 72 and he's plodding along and getting stronger now toward the finish line. Who would have thought he could be this amazingly tough?
Great guy, and his brain is wonderful.
Well, let's not say great. Let's not already glorify him now. Great he isn't. Great he isn't. He's going to disappoint you as badly as Bush did, I can guarantee you, Bernadette. But a choice between him, a patriot, and Obama, a question mark, bingo, there's no choice. Right?
You're right.
Well, let's not read the talking points already, that John McCain is already. George Washington now. All he needs is wooden teeth. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage@.com. I'd rather talk about the dinner I made last night than this. I cooked a nice dinner last night. I'm not going to tell you the name of the sauce. I found the best bottled tomato sauce in the country, but I'll be darned if I'm going to give them a plug. I'm not giving them a plug. Let them spend money on the show like everyone else. There's no need to make your own sauce anymore. It's better than most restaurants, but I augment it. What I did was, are you interested in this? It's very interesting how I can take even a bottle of sauce and make it like I sat and ate dinner last night in my undershirt watching television. I shook my head. I said, how could I eat this well anywhere in the world? The answer is I can't. That's what home cooking is. But most people don't like to cook at home. I get this. What is this, this grated cheese, like a grana padano? I don't understand why it's so much better than normal Parmesan cheese. Grana padano. Then I get the bread that's still hot when it comes in the house. Then I, whatever, it's my business, not yours. But it's really interesting that you can cook at home, even today, better than you can go in a restaurant. All right, but there are reasons to go to a restaurant. I go also. Once a week, I do the Bridge and Tunnel crowd number. Even though I live in the city half time, I like to do the Bridge and Tunnel just to suffer before dinner because it's good for the digestion. In other words, if you have to drive in traffic to a restaurant, let's say in New York, and you live in the suburbs, or let's say you have to drive from a surrounding county into San Francisco for dinner on a Saturday, what could be better for digestion than agita? The agita is like an appetizer. It gets you so angry. If you get enough road rage, it makes the food taste better. I don't really want to do this show. I can't do this. I cannot talk about this with politics anymore. I told you garden statuary is more interesting to me. I may start filibustering. I may only talk about garden statuary for the rest of the day. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Go, go, go. Mixed up a Siciliano.
I don't know if I'm not in the mood for corny Dean Martin. God, give me a break. Give me Pantera for a minute here. I'm so fed up with this already. I can't deal with it. I'd rather watch the storm hit than this. How long can this go on? How long has this election been going on? I feel like I'm living in ancient Rome. It's gone on forever. One Caesar versus another. I don't like this either. Turn it off. I'm not in the mood. Let's try classical music. Nah, forget nothing. Let's talk to the listeners. Tanya, San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Mr. Savage, I love you. I respect you. I honor you. I cherish you because you keep me going and you give me hope that someday
hope.
You'll run.
What kind of hope do I give you? Don't I bum you out with my negativity?
Know that there's still people like you in this world. Who believe
what do you mean people like me? People who haven't been ironed out by the society, put on drugs, told to shut up, told to get in line, told to dummy up,
yes.
told to vote Republican and salute them like they're God?
And that the government of the United States is so...
Whoa, we can't say that. The FBI just got new powers. We got to be careful now.
You are the best. I cannot listen to any other talk show host.
Well, now you're talking. That's intelligent. Neither can I.
For me.
So, Tanya, I'm going to send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity under one condition. Can you name one story in that book that you remember from this show that you want to hear?
Oh, I can name six.
Name one.
Love by the Sewer Plant.
Bingo! You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. So stay on the line, and we'll take your name, address, and phone number, and a book will be going out to you on approximately October 15th. Albany, New York. Eileen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Oh, I'm sick of politics, too. What did you do to the sauce that made it taste so good?
There you go. An intelligent question. I'm sure you wear lipstick and you're still intelligent.
Please.
All right. Do you use bottled sauce when you make spaghetti?
No.
You make your own?
I do, yeah.
All right. Well, that's different. If you make your own, I'm not going to compete with you. Because, look, who has the time? You have to come from another world to make your own sauce. I've done it. I used to do it years ago. I would start with the oil. Then I would start with the onion before it burns. Blah, blah. I know the whole trick with the garlic. Blah, then remove the onion. And then you go to the next step with the crushed tomatoes. How do you make your tomato sauce?
I do it basically the same way. I start with the olive oil, a little garlic, some onion.
All right. But then you remove the garlic and onion before you add the next step, because if they burn or even turn black, it's the end of the sauce, correct?
It makes it bitter, right.
Yes, all right, so you remove it. Now, here's the critical question to you. Make believe you're my aunt and I come over to your house on a Sunday. What do you use for tomatoes? And when your next step, when you put in tomatoes, what are you using?
I only use the canned plum tomatoes.
There you go, but they're the seeds are removed, I hope.
No.
No, because the seeds are bitter.
Oh, okay.
If you, I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but if you want to use, try to get them canned plum tomatoes without seeds. It'll be a better sauce.
I didn't realize. See, Dr. Savage, that's what you make everybody do. You make everybody think.
That's dangerous.
Why, no.
You know that's going to be considered a national crime. I may have to go in hiding after this election. Anyone who provokes thought in America is liable to become public enemy number one.
Don't agree with a lot of your politics, but you make me think. I have to listen to you every single day.
All right, let me ask you this question. What do you think of my statement that Obama could not qualify as an FBI agent? Doesn't that worry you?
It makes me wonder. I don't know what's involved with that.
Well, if a man or a woman says, okay, I want a career in the FBI or the Secret Service, they have to go through a battery of tests.
Yeah.
And many tests are involved, but one of them is your past associations. For example, if you were hanging around with a known drug dealer in college, would you? And that drug dealer wound up in jail. That would probably disqualify you from becoming an FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. And so, why then should these questions not be put before candidates for Senate, Congress, and of course the presidency? Barack Obama's friendship with William Ayers would disqualify him from becoming an FBI agent. I don't know how anybody can't see that and why they're not worried. You talk about bitter seeds in a tomato sauce? This is very close to a bitter seed in a presidential candidate. Not bad. Not bad, Michael. Chicago. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm just driving down the road chuckling with you as you talk about eating your dinner and your undershirt, and then you go to garden statues, and it's just a joy to listen to, and I just had to comment on how well you connected to your listeners on topics that...
I hear you. Well, the fact is that all of us, with anyone who has a brain, thinks about a million things a day. I mean, your mind moves around, right? You're not stuck on one thing. Why should a radio show get stuck on one topic? Now, of course, today, if I were a child, they'd declare me to be ADHD and put me on medication and turn me into a monodimensional idiot who would vote either Democrat or Republican and be a happy camper. And if I wasn't happy, they put me on an anti-anxiety drug. Then if I wasn't happy, they put me on an antidepressant. And on top of that, they'd give me electroshock therapy if I wasn't a good enough Democrat.
Savage.
Heart and soul, I fell in love with you. Heart and soul, the way a fool.
Well, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to jump to something entirely different, because when things get this bad for me and I hit the rocks, I have to go to the Book of Ages. So I'm going to turn to this where Moses says to God, why are you dealing ill with thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that you layest the burden of all this people upon me? That's Moses to God. That's in Numbers 11. And then Moses says, have I conceived all this people? Have I brought them forth that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father carrieth the sucking child unto the land which thou didst swear unto their fathers? So this is Moses saying to God, why have you dumped this burden on me? And Moses goes on to God and he says, where or whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they trouble me with their weeping, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people myself alone because it's too heavy for me, Moses said to God. And he goes, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray, thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not look upon my wretchedness, he says to them. He can't take it anymore. He couldn't stand dealing with it anymore. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you say, oh, you see, you don't understand the Old Testament. You got to understand in the Old Testament there was a real discussion, argument between the ancients and God. It's not like this modern, sanitized, homogenized, pasteurized Bible that you think, where God is there and the people are here and there's no dialogue. Dialogue has to be complaints and say, I had enough of this. What are you doing to me? Why? You have to cry out to God. He's a busy man. He's got a whole universe to deal with, many universes. You have to talk to him. You don't whisper necessarily. Sometimes you can whisper if you want. Fine. You do it your way. Some people reach God in other ways. In the tradition of the ancients, the Jewish ancients, they argued with God. That's the Jewish experience. They argued with God. They got mad at him sometimes. You don't understand religion. It's different ways to approach religion. Now, I want to get back to Obama not qualifying as an FBI agent, because I found that in the Bible, too. And here it is. In Numbers, which is another book of the Old Testament, number 13, listen to this. Just the one paragraph. Indulge me, if you don't mind. If you could listen to me talk about God and statuary, you can listen to me read from the Bible. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a prince among them. I want to go back to that. Send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan. So in the Old Testament, God spoke to Moses and he said, we want you to send out princely men to be our spies against our enemies in Canaan. That's what I'm talking about with the FBI and the Secret Service. They are our princes. Their job is to spy upon enemies of the state. Don't you understand this? They're not Mr. Rogers. I don't want to hear any more of this rubbish and garbage. They got to look like America. One gay, two straight, one this, two that. What are you people, insane? I wouldn't care if they were 100% black if they were all straight up guys who could defend me. I don't care about their race. I don't care about their religion. I care about their uprightness, their princeliness. And once you start color coding a civil service, as has increasingly happened under Clinton and Bush, woe unto a nation. But even now in these debased times, even now in these watered down times, even now where we have this affirmative action everywhere, this sickness, this evil, this yellow-bellied evil, of using people based upon race or sexual orientation rather than straight-out qualifications. Even now, this is a very rigorous exam to become an FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. And anyone who has a shady background or any associations with shady people, they're out because they're not the princes that we can rely upon for our spying. I don't think spying is a dirty word. Look at the word spying. What does it mean? The liberals have made spying into something evil. Why? Because they are the evil. The liberals are the enemy. The liberals are the evil of the other side. more concerned with what the other side thinks than their own survival. They're drugged up sickos. They're so drugged up that I don't even know what the heck they're talking about. I should worry about the other side and their sensitivities? You morons, you! No, I want my spies to penetrate them. I want to know what they're thinking before they think it. That's how we won World War II, moron. That's how we were able to defeat the Japanese, who had some of the greatest ships ever seen. We had better spy equipment than they had. How do you think the Germans were defeated so readily? We were able to spy on them with some of the greatest spying equipment that they did not have. The British invented radar before the Germans had it. Don't you understand what the advantage spying gives you against your enemies? Now, if we have enemies within, which we do, mainly in the United States media and in academia, and we have a lot of them, we have loads of enemies in this country. And if you think I'm going to hold back, you're mistaken just because they attack me. You got another guest coming. I don't care who comes at me and starts to attack me in the media. They mean nothing to me. They'll all be forgotten while I'll still be remembered. And I'll still be on the air when they're off the air, as has already happened. I'm just beginning to fight. If you think that I've backed up because I've been mild and quiet over the last few weeks, you are mistaken. I'm just saving my energy. So let me go on. Obama would not qualify as an FBI agent, and yet here he is running for the presidency. Why is that? Because the rat bums in the media are our enemy. The liberal rat bums in the media are more concerned about advancing the liberal socialist causes than they are about survival of their own nation. So you have a very clear choice. You can elect John McCain, who is a flawed man, a liberal, far too liberal for my needs. But on one issue, national security, national defense, I give him 100. The other guy, I give a 0 because of his associations. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How could you not understand what I just said? And this should go across the blogosphere. It should be on every website. Savage says Obama would not pass FBI test. Period. Let them debate it amongst themselves. Austin, Texas. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, a few years ago I applied for the Secret Service, the FBI, and the military at the same time. And during that time I made a decision to go with the military, with the special ops. I had to be interviewed. You have to submit yourself to a background check, I mean an in-depth one. And one of the first things they're going to ask you is, have you ever used any drugs? And not just that. You can't just have not used drugs. You can't have been in a room where other people use drugs and you sat there and you didn't immediately leave or report it to the police.
So that would eliminate everybody in the media.
Well, I ended up passing it because you have to have in certain positions in special ops, you have to have a top secret clearance. But the investigation is very in-depth. I had people telling me for years that they had been visited by FBI, even school teachers, wanting to know if I'd written any papers on Marx or Lenin.
Good, good. Thank God they're still doing their job. And on that basis, would you agree with me that Obama would not pass an FBI exam and he couldn't become an agent?
He couldn't even get in the door. They would laugh if he walked in there because of all his associations to begin with, let alone the fact that he's already publicly acknowledged in a laughing way that he was a drug user.
Well, let's put aside marijuana use and let's deal with the issue of William Ayers, a known terrorist who has been in prison, federal prison. What about his association with Mr. Rezko, who had been on trial for a while? Those would immediately disqualify anyone from a job in the FBI, would they not?
That's it.
All right, so the only reason Obama's gotten this far is because he gets by with a little help from his friends in the media. Thank you for the call. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, and I'll let you decide. I represent my own opinion. But as you know, despite the fact that you never see me on television, never, I'm the unknown, invisible Michael Savage, and yet they say I have the third largest audience in radio. So if I have the third largest audience in talk radio, let us suggest that a goodly number of you agree with me, a goodly number of you disagree with me, and a goodly number of you haven't made up your mind and don't know what you think. But there's an influence here. There's a large audience here. Yet never do you hear, any of the politicians coming before you. Instead, they'll go before those dirts on The View, those filthy left-wing dirts, and they'll subject themselves to, I'm saying it because I mean it, they make me sick. They make me ill when I look at them, the pack of them. And trust me, I love women. I just don't like filth like that in the media. They make me ill. They go before them and they let them ask them stupid questions that humiliate them when they know that 99% of the audience will not vote for them and they won't come before you on the Savage Nation and they expect me to get here and worship them, get up on the air and worship them. You're mistaken. So we'll move on. 1-800-449-8255, Fairfield, Connecticut. Nilda, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Barack Obama is, according to you, guilty by association, but I don't think people can be made guilty by their association.
Well, you see, you're a child, so you don't understand what I'm saying. In order to become an FBI agent, you have to pass a background test. And one of the questions is, have you hung around with people who have committed crimes? And if you have, especially if they've been arrested for terrorism, as has William Ayers, they would not qualify to be an FBI agent. Don't you understand that?
I do understand that.
Well, but what part of that don't you understand? What part of that can't you compute? What part of that can't you understand?
I can understand that. But in order to be president, you have to have a Democratic voice. This is why it is America.
You see, we're just jumped. It just shows you how drug-addled your mind is or how brainwashed you are. So you're saying that a man who couldn't qualify as an FBI agent, Obama, is now qualified to be the president, even though he couldn't be an FBI agent? He couldn't even pass the test to be his own bodyguard in the Secret Service. How does that figure? How do you figure that out? How does that work for you?
Knows George W. Bush. He has ruined our country. And why not?
Yeah, but George W. Bush never associated with known terrorists who put bombs on the police cars.
Jesus Christ associated with Judas, does that make him equal to Judas? No.
No, it means that Jesus couldn't have been a Secret Service agent.
But I would love him to rule America.
You see, but now you're changing historical context in order to make a point that doesn't compute. There's an agency called the FBI. There's an agency called the Secret Service. They have very rigorous entrance exams. And they're based largely upon a person's character. Do you understand that or not? Do you know what the word character means? Or that doesn't apply over the borders of Connecticut.
Barack Obama has a great character. He's a community.
He has a great character. Hold on. Tell me this, my dear friend. Can you name one thing he has written that you remember? Name one line he's written that you can remember.
I remember in The Audacity of Hope, he said, teachers, if with the right qualifications at the end of their career, should be able to earn top dollar close to $100,000.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's as good as ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That is so literate. How come he hasn't won a Nobel Prize for it? It's such genius right there. That's as brilliant as liberalism is a mental disorder.
I'm a teacher and I respect
you. You're a teacher. My God, no wonder the children don't know what they're talking about.
Children do know what they're talking about.
No, they don't. Not with teachers like you who don't even know what an FBI agent does.
I think an FBI
agent... A teacher like you should pass a loyalty oath. You shouldn't even be qualified to be a dog catcher. I wouldn't trust you in a pound with dogs, let alone in a schoolroom with children.
I respect your voice, and I respect everyone.
I don't care that you respect my voice. I think you're a danger to your students. If you don't understand that an FBI agent has to pass a background test, and you don't know what a background test is, you're a clear and present danger to your own students.
A president is another job, and we're entitled to know who we want to know. This is why...
Whoa, you see, again, you're sounding like an hysterical crybaby child. So a president should not even be required to pass the equivalent of an FBI exam?
I think that a president should be entitled to know who he wants. That's why it's America.
All right, I can't talk with you. You're below the level of a fifth grader. You're in the perfect field for yourself. 1-800-449-8255. You know, there used to be a statement that said, those who can do, those who can't teach. Now, I'm a great supporter of teachers, but the level of teachers today is so embarrassing, it's not funny. And that's why the children don't know north from south, east from west. This is the Savage Nation, where I know north from south and east from west. I'll be right back.
Savage.
and do the bridge and tunnel, go to a good restaurant, across the bridge, get the agita in the traffic. The best aperitif there is agita. Let's go to Chicago, Illinois, the land of great Italian restaurants. Tony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Michael Savage?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I understand you're a restaurant owner.
Yeah, I got a restaurant in Hills, Illinois.
All right, so what has motivated you to call this evening?
Because I heard you talking about the garlic in the pasta and how it makes it bitter when you leave it inside. And you're 100% correct. It's because what happens is the garlic gets too hot, and when it gets too hot, it gives that bitter taste. We don't want that. So old family Sicilian recipe, little trick is you put the crushed garlic in a coffee filter, and then you tie it with a string, and you just dip the coffee filter with the crushed garlic in the pasta sauce after you put the salsa in. This way you can have it in the whole time, and you take the garlic cloves out all at once. It's beautiful.
Wow, I see. So the juices come out, The pulp of the garlic doesn't hit the bottom of the pan.
Exactly. You don't got to worry about burnt garlic at the bottom of your pan when you're washing dishes and anything.
That's beautiful. So, Tony, where's your restaurant in Chicago?
Vernon Hills, Illinois. It says in Vernon Hills, a suburb of Chicago.
How many years has it been there?
4 years. It's called Portofino's.
Yeah, if I ever get there, will you be there for me?
I'll be there. I found the house for you, Michael Savage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I get all the corned beef I want if I go to Ireland. You see, there's benefits to the you ask anyone in the restaurant business who knows me, I rarely accept a free glass of wine. On occasion, I will if I don't even know they picked up the tab. I can't. It's against the rules. The local guys will take a free meal on the side, the ones that wear Hawaiian shirts in San Francisco. They live for that, the glom. They like the free meal. I don't know what they make money. Why can't they pay the guy? He kills himself to make a living. Why don't you just pay for your meal? I won't even accept a drink from a guy in the restaurant. It's not that I'm a big shot. You don't do it. That's all. It's undignified. You say, thank you, I can't accept it, and you move on. The same with politicians. They're not supposed to accept gifts. Otherwise, you may as well live in Argentina. North Carolina. Bill, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Dr. Savage.
So what's on your mind, Bill?
I'd like to get your take on the future of the lamestream media. One of your competitors is trying to pronounce last rites on it, but I think he's being overly optimistic.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. In fact, I was the first in talk radio to say I hope that the newspapers don't go out of business. I mean, we would be in real trouble here in talk radio without the hard work performed by the real reporters out there. We live off the news. Where are we going to get the news from? We don't have the staff to go out and dig up the news. You know, I read that AP, a lot of newspapers are cutting off Associated Press because they don't want to pay the fees. Well, where are they going to get their news from? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, eventually maybe they'll wake up and do their job on both sides of the aisle.
Look, I survive because of my pithy commentary, not because of the news. Anybody can read news articles on the internet and say, here's the news, and take a caller and blah, blah, blah. But if you are not able to come up with your own insights and put them across, you know, in a special way with a little humor and this and that, you know, who's going to listen to this? Who has time for it? Thanks for the call. Where's the media going to be? Obviously, it's going to be different. Everyone thinks the internet's the future of radio. I'm not so sure. There's something very cozy about a car radio that I'm not so sure is going to be replaced in the immediate future. As far as what do you call it? The Sirius XM? A complete fraud. A complete and total bust. Why would anybody want to spend $10 a month to get programming that they get for nothing on the radio? I don't understand satellite radio. I never did. You want to hear the psychopathic balloon man tell you about panties and brassieres in a time like this? Hey, look at that. Lesbian, huh? Panties, brassiere, huh? Look at that. Lesbian, huh? Lesbian, huh? Beavis and Butthead. Lesbian, panties, brassiere, panties, $10 a month to listen to that, a grown man? Put him in a psychopathic ward, a ward for psychos with balloons so he can make balloon animals for the psychos. I don't care if he made $1 trillion a year, he's still a psychopath. That's what satellite radio is built upon. It's a house of cards. It's worse than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Savage. We'll be right back.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Service can help us solve national challenges. Service is not red or blue. It's beyond party and partisanship. John McCain served in the military for 26 years, nearly making the ultimate sacrifice for his country. After college, Barack Obama chose to work in the streets of Chicago to improve the lives of everyday people. Both of these men are deeply committed to national service.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretending that I'm doing well.
That was an empty suit from Time magazine named Richard Stengel. Richard Stengel of Time magazine equates being a community organizer with serving in the military. So let's see, Richard. That would be the like saying a hooker is equal to a nun, a spy is equal to the enemy he's spying on, and a criminal is equal to the cop, Richard. No wonder you work for Time magazine. It's exactly where you belong. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. That's a good start. What else is out there? Nothing. Zero. As I said, I'd rather talk about garden statuary than McCain and Obama. Look, I've reduced it to the simplest terms. That's what I specialize in. And don't confuse simplest terms with simplistic terms. There's a chasm, a huge chasm between simplicity and simpledom. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes reducing things to their simplest terms is the closest you could ever get to the truth. I am a trained scientist. I understand how to do deductive and inductive reasoning. Unfortunately for most of you, it's a lost art. And I'm going to make a statement that reduces the election to its simplest terms. Barack Obama could not qualify as an FBI agent. Obama could not pass the Secret Service exam. So in other words, the very men who are hired to protect the president have a higher national security clearance than would be the president himself. That's pretty upside down as far as I'm concerned. It ends the question. It's over. It's over. You have doubts there. There's your question. It's answered. John McCain is too liberal for me. But John McCain, on the issue of national security, is trustworthy. That's all, period, end of story. I don't need any more than that. I don't expect any more from a politician. I pay your taxes, do what you best you can to protect me. That's all I want to know. Don't turn the government against me. That's as simple as that. The rest leave up to me. I don't need you to help me. Just get out of my way. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know who Obama is. I don't know who his shady character friends are. I know that he hung around with William Ayers, a known terrorist who went to jail for putting bombs under a police car, who said he didn't do enough damage to the police. Bingo, he couldn't. Therefore, Obama could not even be a Secret Service agent. Based on that alone, he could not qualify as an FBI agent. So you can take that to the bank. Write it down on a slip of paper. Savage says Obama couldn't be FBI agent. Savage says Obama couldn't be Secret Service agent. Take that to the bank because it's irrefutable. So you say, well, what does that matter? Well, if you don't understand that matters, then you're a perfect candidate to vote for Obama because you're a moron. You're what Lenin called a useful idiot. Now, the good news is that McCain, for all of his flaws and for all of his liberalism, is surging ahead in the polls to the extent that Harry Reid called him President McCain, to the extent that the Democrats are biting their nails and they're trying to distance themselves from Obama. He's overplayed his hand. The party is over, and that's it. I don't mean anything can happen in a campaign, and they're doing their best right now to try to go after Palin, but it's working against them as it should. There's nothing that they can do to her. She's basically bulletproof. Whatever they do backfires on them. They're attacking women. No matter how you cut it, they're attacking women because they are. How come they didn't subject Hillary Clinton to the same kind of scrutiny as they're doing to Sarah Palin? Cattlegate, Troopergate, Cattlegate, Troopergate. Remember all the Hillary scandals? Remember the disappearing files? Remember the death of Vince Foster? It seems that the press was out to lunch on those issues because they were her friend. They're Democrats. They're socialists. They're in her camp. So they've lost all credibility. That's why this little man, this Lilliputian from Time magazine that I played at the beginning of this hour, equates being a community organizer with serving in the military. As I put it on my website, michaelsavage.com, at the beginning of the week, one man fired rockets at the enemy from a plane he was flying, while the other man fired staples into telephone poles in Chicago. Again, end of story. But apparently that didn't make enough people's minds up, so I'll make it even simpler for you. Obama could not qualify as an FBI agent. Bingo, end of story. And you still want to elect him? Why? Because you're a dummy. Because you deserve to live in the prison that you're going to create for yourself, Dumbo. Obama is not qualified to be the president of the United States. Why do I say that? Because he couldn't pass the FBI exam. What more do you want me to say to you? Well, there's nothing more to say. It's finished. It's final. It's over. Kaput. That's it. I'd rather talk about cooking a sausage than talk about this. I told you I'd rather talk about garden statuary than talk about these two. It'll be over in November then. What, you think it's going to change your life? Somebody said to me last week, you know, they said, look, if I were in your income bracket, I would vote for McCain also, but I'm not. So I'm going to go, I think I should vote for McCain. I said, what do you think he's going to do for you? You think by raising taxes, you're going to get trickle down? You're going to get money? You're going to get more money? You're not going to get another dime. It'll all go in the pockets of the Democrats who put him in office. That's how the political system works. To the victor belong the spoils. You're not going to get Jack Johnson. You're not going to get another dime for welfare. I can guarantee you. We are broke as a nation. This nation is broken financially. We've been broken. So let me stop there because I don't want to bum you out. I'd rather talk about ancient Egypt than talk about this. Would you like me to give you a history lesson? Which history lesson would you like Michael to give you today? I can talk about, let's begin at a recent time. I can't give you all the history in the world. I'm only an amateur in the field. We could start with the Reformation, boring. The Mongol conquests, they're kind of interesting. How about the great days of the Arabs or Muhammad and Islam? How about the fact that I tell you that the radical Islamists are not modern Muslims, but they're throwbacks to the 9th century? That Islam advanced well beyond what the Islamists are presenting today as representative of Islam. Shall I talk about World War II, Korea, Vietnam? Shall I talk about the ecological crisis and the fraudulent con men who are pushing global warming in the name of basically business advancement? 1-800-449-8255. About the age of 40, Muhammad began to develop prophetic characteristics based upon those of the Hebrew prophets 1,200 years before him. Now, I don't think you understand this, but Muhammad began to talk to his wife about the one true God and of the rewards and punishments of virtue and wickedness during a time of idol worship in his native lands. But if you don't know that his thoughts were very strongly influenced by Jewish and Christian ideas, then you know nothing about religion. You know nothing about religion, not qualified to discuss religion. Unless you understand that Judaism is the father of all monotheistic religions, then again you're not qualified to discuss religion. Then you don't know the difference between a nun and a prostitute, a criminal or a cop, a spy and a saboteur, or a community organizer and John McCain. That's why I'd rather talk about spaghetti sauce. This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Visit michaelsavage.com to see psychological nudity in all its glory exposed for you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've been telling you that the Hitler from Iran, Ahmadinejad, is one of the biggest threats to the world, not just to Israel. Well, this is being ignored by the intelligence community, Congress, and most of the press. What they don't know is that Iran was involved in the 9/11 attacks in America, and there's evidence to prove it. Ken Timmerman from Newsmax.com joins us today to talk about Iran's involvement and what we know. Ken Timmerman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on.
Give us some background on your article.
Well, Michael, this is something that I've been looking into for many years, in fact, since the day of 9/11, September 11th, 2001. And I tried to summarize my investigations in a rather, you know, short article at Newsmax.com, just about 2,000 words, to give the outline so readers can understand and our listeners can understand that the Islamic Republic of Iran had a direct material involvement in the September 11th attacks. And this is not speculation. It's not a matter of intelligence even. There are eyewitnesses, and there's hard evidence behind this. Some of the evidence was, in fact, reviewed at the very last moment by the 9/11 Commission, and that's, in fact, how I start off the article, is looking at what the 9/11 Commission found and their ultimate recommendation, which was that the United States government should further investigate the connection of Iran to the 9/11 attacks. And, of course, they never did.
Well, even the 9/11 Commission, the whitewashers, saw the connection. Why has nothing been done?
You know, that is a great mystery. The 9/11 Commission laid out some basic facts. They pointed out, for example, that 8 to 10 of the so-called muscle hijackers, these are the guys who took over the planes so the Al-Qaeda pilots could fly them into their targets, had transited through Iran on their way into Afghanistan and out of Afghanistan. Now, that's a very significant fact because you just don't go into Iran as a tourist, right? It's a totalitarian country. They actually check their borders, unlike some countries. If you come in with a Saudi passport or a Yemeni passport or another passport from that region, they're going to want to know who you are. So it's not something that happens accidentally. To find that 8 to 10 of the muscle hijackers were going in and out of Iran before the September 11th attacks is significant. It means that the Iranian government knew what was going on. Second thing they found out was that on those flights bringing in the muscle hijackers, the future hijackers were accompanied by, quote, a senior Hezbollah operative. This is from the 9/11 Commission report. Well, I'm able to identify, and this is in my earlier book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran, the identity of that senior Hezbollah operative. He was Imad Fayez Mughniyeh, the man who was assassinated in February of this year in Damascus, Syria. He was Iran's top terrorist, their top international terrorist operative. He was accompanying the Al-Qaeda hijackers into and out of Iran. This is an absolutely, really, it's a blockbuster revelation. It was in the 9/11 Commission report, not his name, but the fact that the senior Hezbollah operative was there. I've had it confirmed by several members of the commission and the staff. There's absolutely no doubt about this whatsoever. It's an incredibly significant fact.
What kind of evidence are we talking about, Iran being involved in 9/11?
Well, the proof is quite extensive, Michael, and it comes from eyewitnesses, on the one hand, individuals who have defected since 9/11, in fact, including one individual who defected before 9/11 and warned the CIA what was going to happen. They dismissed his information. That's a scandal in and of itself. But it also comes from intercepts of communications of Al-Qaeda communications, from Iranian government communications. These are the things the 9/11 Commission was able to look at that I, as a reporter, was not able to access. But, you know, we were able to see from the notes and from discussions with 9/11 Commission staff the kind of intercepts and intelligence information that they had, in addition to the things that I was able to gather privately.
Well, why don't we hear about this?
I'm still trying to figure this out. I believe that one reason the CIA doesn't want this information to become public is because they dropped the ball. There's a story that I tell in Countdown to Crisis, which is devastating, really. There was an Iranian defector who came in July of 2001, walked into the U.S. Embassy in Baku, Azerbaijan, and warned the CIA there was going to be a massive terrorist attack on the United States of America. It was going to be carried out by the Islamic Republic of Iran, but not directly, by using Arab surrogates. And he gave the date of the attack in the Persian calendar. He said it would happen on the 10th of the 20th of Shahrivar. Now, the CIA operative that he spoke to, the CIA officer, Persian speaker he spoke to, took out his calendar and said, "Oh, you mean the 10th of September? You know, when you have a better idea what's going to happen, come back and talk to us." Well, CIA George, who was saying this to the Iranian defector, couldn't even read his Persian calendar correctly because the 20th of Shahrivar, the date of the attack, was the 11th of September. So the CIA had been warned, They didn't pay attention to the warning, and they dismissed this particular defector. They called him a fabricator, and they threw him out. They kicked him out. They gave him $500 and told him to disappear, and they have never listened to him since.
You would think the CIA would have learned from their past failures by now.
Well, Michael, this is something that I think, unfortunately, is systematic. The CIA has shown that it has a really hard time dealing with defectors, human sources, individuals, people who come out of hostile intelligence agencies. And the Iranians are very good at this. Sometimes they plant false defectors. It's true. And so there's a reason to be cautious, but there is not a reason to totally reject virtually every single defector who comes in from Iran. And that's what the CIA has been doing. They are not capable of discriminating between people who potentially can bring them real information, hard information, and those who are being sent out by the Iranian regime. And Americans have paid for this.
Now that this information is out, where does it go from here?
Well, I can tell you one of the things that will happen. There will be a full public airing of all of this information, the information uncovered by the 9/11 Commission, the information covered by people like myself, independent investigators, in the coming months when the families of the victims of the 9/11 attacks actually have their day in court. They are going to go to court in the next couple of months. They will have a court hearing either in New York or in Washington, D.C., where they are accusing the Islamic Republic of Iran of having participated materially in the conspiracy of the 9/11 attacks, and they will lay out all of this information at that time.
Hmm.
Michael, I have to say, just as a matter of disclosure, I have been working on this investigation, helping the families of the victims of 9/11, some of this information I have been personally privy to. I can't talk about it yet in great detail, but the things that I've spoken to you about today are already out there on the public record. They already should be enough to get Congress involved in investigating this, and in particular, taking a look at what the CIA actually knew before 9/11 and what they failed to act upon.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I really appreciate the opportunity to air some of this information. Thank you for what you're doing.
I've been saying that the Fannie and Freddie bailout is a huge, monstrous mistake. We can't afford the trillions of dollars of debt added to our national debt. It's already going to take years to clean up after our recent spending spree. Terry Coxon is an economist with Casey Research. He joins us on the Savage Nation to give us his perspective on what's going on there. Terry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I'm glad to be here today.
Well, what really happened with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
It's a matter of chickens coming home to roost, and they've been traveling for a long time. The trouble in the housing market and the slop over into the credit market comes from years and years of government policies that force-fed the real estate market. It goes way back. It goes back to the Great Depression, when the government invented agencies to support the housing industry. And it continued through World War II with rent controls that made it impossible for many people to find a place to rent, so they learned to be homeowners. And then it continued after World War II and through the 1970s into the 1980s with changes in tax laws that piled one tax advantage on top of another for people who decided to buy a house. And then the final blow-off came when the Federal Reserve thought it was fighting a recession by forcing short-term interest rates down to 1%. Now, that's what caused the last stage of the big housing boom. That's what invited all the risky mortgage loans that are now about to fail. And that's what got Fannie and Freddie and other mortgage lenders into serious trouble. If you want to say it's George Bush's fault, well, he certainly has a share of it. But think about all the congressmen, all the senators year after year, voting more favors for the housing industry and providing special benefits for government agencies and government-related businesses such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are the culprits. It's not just George Bush.
Well, from what you're saying, every time the government steps in, it creates a bigger problem.
Well, that is correct. From time to time, the government gets enthused about a particular industry, and it votes favors for it, special benefits, tax advantages for people who send money to the industry. And the result is that other industries get starved, but the favorite industry gets bloated. And eventually it comes to a messy and an unhappy end.
Why haven't we learned our lesson?
Well, why haven't people learned not to believe politicians? I don't know.
How is this bailout going to affect the average person?
Well, it means that your government has gotten one step larger than it already was. Your share of the national debt has gone up some more. Your prospects for paying high taxes for the rest of your life are even stronger than they were before. It's not a happy business.
Was the government right to step in?
It was a mistake for the government to save the businesses. What it does when it rescues a business is to perpetuate mistakes, to keep a mess from being as obvious as it otherwise might have been. When a mistake is made, it's been made, and it's healthier to face up to it and admit the problem and work your way through it. But that's not the way politicians work.
Where does it go from here?
This is not the end of the story. This is about Chapter 3 in War and Peace. There's a lot more to come. What we're seeing are the standout institutions that are easy to identify as being in trouble. What we're not seeing, but we will see eventually, is all the other lenders, all the other organizations that invested in subprime mortgages that have not yet published their woes. There's much more to come. Not just Fannie and Freddie.
How big is this going to get?
It's an enormous burden on the economy because right now, because of all the problems with subprime lending, lenders are afraid to lend on just about anything. And business borrowers, for the most part, are afraid to borrow. It is a very unhealthy situation, and it contains all the ingredients for a very severe recession.
Is there a light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, of course, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. The question is, how long is the tunnel before you get to the light? And I'm afraid it's going to be rather long and rather dark.
Terry Coxon, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Savage. I'm glad he enjoyed it. All right, I'm back. I'm back. I decided to cut in early in the hour because I got callers now. Again, this is amazing to me. I do 2 hours dead live. I record a couple of interviews I did earlier today. And the minute I stop live and I go back to the recorded, all of a sudden the calls are smashing into the board. What's with you people? Why don't you call me like off the top of the hour here? Look, here's what you take home tonight with your spaghetti sauce recipe. It's simple. You're undecided? Savage says Obama could not qualify as an FBI agent. End of story. How could you listen to this schmuck from Time magazine who equates being a community organizer with John McCain's service in the military? Now you understand why the media is in decline. Now you understand why Obama's in the decline. Now you understand finally why a lackluster middle-of-the-roader like John McCain could get so far in a country like this. Tucson, Arizona. Charles, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's nice to talk with you. I wanted to tell you that I've been listening to you for quite a while. My dad started listening to you, and I thought at first you were crazy, but I've come to love you. And Brian,
how do you know I'm not crazy? Maybe you love me because I am crazy.
Well, that's the thing. That to me, you are a jazz musician on the radio. The way that you flow from topic to topic and with your ideas and your thoughts and your quips, it's almost like...
I am. I am like a jazz musician, a verbal jazz musician. I've said so myself. I have said so. It's a format that's not very well understood, by the way, in talk radio. They don't quite get it. We could actually discuss this in great detail, Charles, but as you know, jazz doesn't have a beginning, a middle, and an end in a traditional storytelling way. It starts anywhere it wants, and it ends anywhere it wants, whenever the horn player wants to put down the horn. That is the way I like to do radio. Now, I am timed out by ads in certain sections, which control my flow and my timing, but by and large, it's more like Coltrane than it is like Vivaldi.
Yes, sir. And that's why
Thank you. That's why I like it. Play Giant Steps by Coltrane. Nobody could go up there like, you know, no one could do what Coltrane did with that horn. Nobody has ever touched him. He was not invited to the White House. He didn't appear on the Corned Beef Guy show. So, how do you blow that horn, huh? Yeah, right. Go explain this. So, tell us in a few minutes how you do this, John. You have to go out for a fix 2 seconds later. If you ever appear on Larry King, he'd throw himself off a building. After an interview with The View, he'd throw himself off the Empire State Building. Listen to this. Hear this? This is great jazz. He's dead. His music lives. That's what I try to achieve in radio. Well, every once in a while I get close. Okay, they got the picture. I made my point. Now, imagine if John Coltrane were alive today and they have him on David Letterman, the guy who couldn't do a show during the writer's strike because he didn't know what to say. So you get a guy like John Coltrane, a genius, on David Letterman, and he sits there with that goofy, toothy look, and he's like, so, thanks for coming in here. So, how do you do that with that horn? That's what passes for media and comedy today. Imagine this. Or Larry King. One garlic breath and John Coltrane would lose the ability to blow a horn. Imagine this, or he appears on the Corned Beef Eater show on Fox, Mr. Corned Beef, Mr. Corned Beef and Cabbage. Oh, God, Texas-sized hurricane coming. That's a real one, though. You see what's going on? Did you see that a Coast Guard ship lost its engine, was trying to get away to like a safe harbor, and its engine quit? And it was so bad they couldn't even rescue the Coast Guardsmen. Now, that's a storm. We'll hear global warming already tomorrow, even though a storm like this hit in like 1899, before there was a Model T Ford. You know, actually, the best piece by Coltrane is probably Naima. You have Naima? Naima's even... don't play it for the audience. It'll blow them away. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear Republicans great, Democrats bad. Which, by the way, compared to Obama, that happens to be true today. As close to the truth as you can get. Can you take home the one message I said? One message from the day, if you remember anything from this week, one, Obama has an Oedipal complex that's very bad. He doesn't like women, and it's because of what happened to him, blah, 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 the mother with the running and then following narcissism, followed her own instincts, left the kids behind. All right, so leaves a child scarred. Married a nice woman, has a nice family, but what has that done to him as a man? Witness lipstick on a pig. But that you're not going to remember. It's too complicated. You already heard lipstick on a pig. Savage says Obama could not qualify as FBI agent. Good iambic pentameter, easy to remember, will be transferred through the internet, spread it around, think amongst yourselves, why would you elect the man to the presidency who couldn't qualify as his own bodyguard? I mean, moron, bong, boom. That's it, end of story. You want him exposed to the world, America's deepest secrets? Top secret clearance to a man who couldn't become his own bodyguard. Oh, Mr. Obama, I'd like to see what Al-Qaeda's about to do. That's nice. I'm glad to hear the Europeans want to be president. Good, let him go run in Austria. WTNT, Washington, D.C. Jack, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, Michael, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been waiting for almost an hour.
I don't understand. What's the pleasure? What could be a pleasure to talk to me? My own family doesn't find it to be a pleasure.
Well, first of all, we have similar backgrounds. You came...
Oh, now I'm really in trouble. That's really a... All right. What's our background? You grew up in Queens?
In Turnpike, Queens College. I went to CCNY, but I'm familiar with Queens College.
You were taught by communists at CCNY. 90% of the teachers were commies.
Absolutely right. I used to be pretty much leftist myself, but in the last year or so, I completely switched.
Absolutely. You came to... Look, do I make sense when I say to you, let's clear the air, even if you're a lifetime Democrat, if a man can't qualify to be his own FBI agent, why would you elect him to be the president?
You'd be out of your mind. Out of your mind.
So you see, even an old lefty, there's hope for America. Yet if an old leftist like you could come around to reality. Oh, God, look what a man has to do for a living. Houston, Texas. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I enjoyed the show. I grew up in Queens Village, and my favorite story, I hope it's in your book, is the nymphomaniac at Ellie Pond Park.
Wait a minute. Were you in the car with me?
I was not there, Mike, but it's my favorite story, and it's very touching.
All right, hold it. Then I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. If you could remember the nympho in Ellie Pond Park right off the top without me priming you, then you got to get a free book.
I appreciate that, Dr. Savage. And the reason why I like it is because it's very touching how the father meets the daughter on the front lawn and puts the blanket around.
That's right. It's not a salacious story about a girl who was a nymphomaniac. It's the exact opposite, that the father is waiting for her with an overcoat. And instead of yelling at the boys, it's a sad story. It's bittersweet. It's like a Sajat Ray Indian movie, my book.
Exactly. And it's a fantastic story. And also, I just wanted to say, I'm a retired police officer. I used to work in New York, and now I'm retired outside Houston, Texas. But
that's because you're not a lesbian or a gay. You can't work for the NYPD.
Exactly. I'm married for 27 years. And
if you're a transvestite, you'd be captain by now.
Yes, or deputy inspector or a borough commander, exactly.
That's right. But in San Francisco, they have a fire chief who can't lift a hose and a police chief whose hat falls off her head.
What? I was there for 20 years. I had a great career, and I enjoyed it. But I can tell you this much. Obama could not become an FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. He could not survive the background investigation with the applicant investigations unit in the city of New York because if you had associations in your past with a convicted felon, that is viewed as an integrity issue. It is viewed as a character flaw. You would not be able to become.
But did you hear the caller earlier, a so-called teacher, who said to me, Obama has a fine character? And I said, don't you understand? And she says, oh, you're giving him guilt by association. I said, don't you understand that that's what a background check does?
Exactly. I heard that more in Connecticut. And the fact that the woman is a teacher is really frightening, but he could not become.
Well, now you know why teachers and students are having sex in broom closets.
I
because
totally
to her, having sex with a student makes sense. There's nothing wrong with it.
It is a sick world. And last.
It is. It's very sick. You know, it's starting to get to me, Bill. After 15 years of radio, it's starting to get to me. I think I'm going to take vows and become a monk. The only thing is I don't like the food in a monastery. If there was an Italian monastery in America where the food was good, I'd consider shaving my head and taking the vows and never speaking again. You know, Gregor Mendel had it right. He raised green beans, probably had a good meal every night. They drank good wine. What do you think Benedictine is? What do you think they were doing in those long nights? They were going insane. The monks, they went crazy, so they developed Benedictine. What do you think they did it for? They'd go nuts. There was no television. There was no movies, nothing. You go all day long, you're going to toil in a garden, and at night there's no Benedictine, you go out of your mind. I mean, how much can you do for God? At a certain point, you know, you're going to throw in the robe. So they invented the Benedictine. They got smashed, and they were able to feel better for the morning. Did they drink coffee in the morning? Because coffee didn't come in. Yeah, Middle Ages, sure. The coffee bean was brought in from Ethiopia in the Middle Ages. But if you got a hangover before that time, what did they recover with? I don't even have any, maybe beer in the morning. They probably had a beer in Italy. Now I'm starting to feel good already. I'm starting to feel better because the show's almost over. It's almost Friday night. It is Friday night on the East Coast already. People are partying already. They went over the Williamsburg Bridge. The Jewish people are already not listening. The Orthodox, they're in temple. I'm left basically with a scattered audience. The party animals and the Orthodox are gone. Who's left? Retired police and retired FBI who have nothing to do with themselves. But listen, I'm just joking. But no, Monday, I know I'm out of time, but I got to say this. What's happening is that Monday morning, I got to go in for that colon. It's no big deal. Girls get it. I know that. I don't like the idea of it, though, being doped up and having a guy stick something in my in the backside. I can't adjust to this. I'm laying on a table like a slab of meat, and it's in San Francisco on top of it all. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. War Mom Palin takes hard line. God bless her. She took a hard line on Russia. That's okay, a little worrisome, but there we go. At least someone took a hard line on something. As I said to you years ago, it's the women who are going to save America. Maybe she's a fulfillment of that. I don't really know. Remember I said to you years ago, it's the women who are going to save America. The men have lost their you-know-whats. And we needed an Iron Lady. We needed a Margaret Thatcher. I don't know. Maybe this is the right woman for the, you know, for this, you know, the simple woman from. And make no mistake about it. I mean, it could be. I don't like the idea of going to war with anybody. I mean, war is a disaster. But hey, whatever works, you know. 26 U.S. bishops have rebuked Pelosi. I mean, on the contrary, and there's the woman's moment. Nancy Pelosi. She wrecked the Democrat Party since she has become Speaker. The fortunes of Congress have plummeted. Think about that. Why is that? Why does America not like Nancy Pelosi, yet they like Sarah Palin? That's an interesting one. No one's asked that one. You know, think about it. That's an interesting question. Why is Nancy Pelosi unliked, and why is Sarah Palin liked? Why did Sarah Palin strike a chord throughout America while Nancy Pelosi continues to alienate most of America outside of San Francisco? There's a good reason for it. If 26 bishops individually rebuke Nancy Pelosi for her claims about Catholic teaching and abortion, you understand what I'm getting at? The people are not quite that disconnected from their own religious teachings. That's the reason. And that's also the reason that Savage's book, Psychological Nudity, have beaten Nancy Pelosi's book already in only 3 weeks. Think about it. No View, no Larry King, no Good Morning America, no Bill O'Reilly, no nobody but you. Thank you very much.
Savage.